Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. The other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. We could really use the help. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, though, I want to tell you about our new monthly guidebook / workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians, and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your career and your musical life on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from MyMusicMasterclass.com. So if you want to learn more, go to MyMusicMasterclass.com and you'll see the subscribe link in the menu. Click that and you'll be good to go.
That being said, let's trek further down the path of
getting under the surface.
Getting under the surface? What the hell does that even mean?
You ever see that movie Tremors?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, there's just
some underground shit.
Or Dune.
Yeah, a new one is looking good.
So this whole episode is going to be about Dune.
About worms underground that kill people?
Yeah, or just small critters.
Well, it's about finding the spice.
That's true. It is kind of like finding a spice. That is actually a good lead into what I'm about to say. So anyway, so I was thinking the other day about how people often have to dig underneath the surface in order to find the coolest things in life. And this also pertains to your musical life, but let's just start with everyday life. For instance, if you're a tourist and you go to France, right? Like, let's say you go to Paris. I guarantee you that the Eiffel Tower is not the coolest thing to do in Paris, right?
But it's necessary.
No,
right?
Agreed.
I mean, yeah.
All but right, good. It's like so a lot of the...
It's not like bad. We're not saying it's
No. Yeah, we're not saying it's bad. We're going to go somewhere with this, I promise. But it's kind of like when you see a native New Yorker and they're like, oh, I've never been to the Statue of Liberty and I've lived here my entire life or something like that.
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
I don't do like the Hollywood Boulevard stars and shit.
Exactly,
like
right.
I'll find myself there like drunk and being like, look, Bob Hope star. And then I'll get all excited.
Exactly.
But I don't like look for it, you know.
So let's say you go to New York and you don't live there and you're bombarded with all these ads and everything and you have Broadway plays and... whatever restaurant is being pushed on a billboard and all these things in Times Square.
Like Times Square and all that stuff, yeah.
Like, I remember, Jake, you were in Times Square once, and I was like, that's my least favorite neighborhood in New York.
I was like, yay.
Exactly.
it took like 64 hours to like get the car at the hotel that we were staying. It was just like, why
it's like, where do I eat around here?
Out.
It's like nowhere good. You know, you have to be in a real neighborhood. That's not a real neighborhood in my eyes. I mean, I know it is. And someone's gonna be pissed off because I'm like dogging Hell's Kitchen, but I'm not.
I mean, I took a good selfie. That was maybe the last good selfie.
No, but I mean, Jeremy Manicia lives in Hell's Kitchen, and you know, it's cool. It's not my favorite neighborhood.
God, he could do it every once.
Exactly. He's also like not right at 42nd Street. You know what I mean? So essentially, if you live in New York City versus just visit it, and like Jake said, if you visit somewhere, this is just an example. We're just talking about visiting something. There's often a slew of tourist things that you have to do if you're not somewhere for a long time. You know, you probably want to see the Eiffel Tower, the Arc de Triomphe, pardon my French accent, the Louvre, you know, all those things in Paris that you're supposed to see. But once you really know Paris, you want to get in and see what the coolest things, where the coolest music is, where the best food is. And it's not always the stuff on the most touristy streets. As a matter of fact, it's typically not, right? So in order to discover these things in your life outside of just this small bubble we're talking about traveling to a location, you have to shut off the TV, maybe turn off the screen, and put your nose to the ground and really, really try to find what the coolest things are, what the best things are for you and for your life and where your niche is.
Yeah, like I get that a lot with my uncle. He's always like, there's no good music out there. I'm like, dude, but he knows better than that. He just has to, like, I either just tell him about artists that we have, mm-hmm. and then that, like, branches out into craziness, because, like, the jazz world is cool for that, because everyone plays with different people. It's not like a band. So if you find, like, John Ellis or something like that, then you're gonna find, like, a million other cats, you know, from trombone to freaking upright to, you know, crazy wind instruments, and it's all like a branch effect. That's how I usually do it. It's right. all about, like, creating, like, the family tree of coolness that's out there that you're not going to see. Like, you know, they're not going to be posting on freaking Instagram every day, or they're not on TV, you know?
And I guarantee that there's so much cool stuff happening, for instance, in New Orleans, right? And I had to go down there, well, right before COVID hit. And I love the city, but I was in a touristy area, and I just felt like the tourist vibe, like, exuding into me. And that is so not what New Orleans is about. It has so much, it's so much culture in it. But yeah.
It's like Nashville too.
Yeah, you have to go to the right places. Like, if you're just on Bourbon Street, then, you know, you're going to get hit with, you know, whatever they are selling you.
Yeah. And, you know, that goes. Like East Nashville is kind of like the cool emerging spot right now, or something like that. But
yeah, I mean, and this can apply to all kinds of things in your life before we get into the musical side of it. For instance, the most advertised products that are pushed down your throat in ads and banners, or, you know, whatever, they're not always the best products. You know, sometimes they are, sometimes they're great, but sometimes you can find something on Amazon or on another site or locally from a small company that's as good or better and less expensive without the badge. You know, I've found things for hundreds of dollars or less than something that's pushed down my throat because I did a lot of digging and a lot of research, right? So let's now, instead of just talking about things that are non-musical, talk about this in musical terms.
Well, first of all, just learn how to look up specs. Just as far as, like, products are concerned, like, the spec sheet is everything, man. Like, you can get off-brand, like, cameras. You can get off-brand, even just looking up strings and stuff like that. I mean, it's just look at the details. Like, what are they actually doing? There's so many companies that are doing so many things for so much cheaper, but they're putting more money into it, so it's, like, a better quality.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to talk about gear, I mean, that's something that I wasn't even thinking of talking about, and we can definitely talk about that. I mean, if you search YouTube for product reviews of, say, like, a video camera or an audio recorder, you can find a lot of great things. You can find A-B comparisons of different things to see, wow, the GoPro Hero 8 looks great, but this $100 camera looks really good and it's only $100, or whatever the case is. But you have to be careful and do a little digging there too. It's not so cut and dry. And
yeah, like, the app might not be as well. Yeah. Like, the camera, if you don't need, like, the app to be screaming, you just need the camera, then you're good. You
know, yeah, but I'm not even talking about that. I was talking just about the fact that the person reviewing the camera could be being paid to do it, or getting free gear. So you have
to. How the hell do you tell that shit?
Well, sometimes they
now you're scaring me.
Well, no, they it says in the description, or often they'll say in the video, they'll be like, I bought both these, like, I'm not being paid, you know, or, you know, you see a big ad for whatever, you know, the camera that they have in their thing. But that being said, if there's an A-B comparison and they split the screen and you can see that one camera looks the same with all the same settings on, again, you have to do your digging and do your research and see that, all right, this one has a stabilizer, you know, a motion stabilizer on it, and this one does not, you know, and then, or this one has a low light sensor and this one is not, they didn't have it activated or whatever it is. Basically, you can find out a lot from these videos, but you still want to be wary of your source and do your research. And forums, right? I've learned a lot from Reddit, a lot from forums. I read tons on the internet. I'm always doing a lot more research than most people. I never take any face value review. If you search, let's say, 20 best, or like, best camcorders under $500 or something like that, the first link often is it's just paid link, you know, and you'll open it up and it'll just have these links to Amazon, you know, and you know that they're getting a cut every time you click on that. You know, it's like an affiliate program.
And sometimes that stuff's right on.
Sometimes it's right on, man.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not.
It depends on that. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But that's what you got to look into.
Yeah. I'm just saying you look into it. So look deeper than just the first results you get on your screen.
Like I remember when you got that that Asus tablet back in the day. I think we were shooting a drum video and we were blown away because all on battery we used this Asus tablet, and Asus hadn't really blown up yet.
No,
like they got big into the gaming world and stuff.
It was
like
laptops, running Windows 8 or something at that point.
Yeah, it was running like Windows, and you were running Reaper off of it, so you already had like way off brand shit. Like we had an Asus tablet fucking running Reaper,
and we did an 8-channel. We did a Focusrite, a Focusrite.
You had
to
your Focusrite, all 8. We were using all 8 channels, and we did like a 3-hour recording.
Yeah, it was
and
great.
And you still had like 40% battery left on the freaking thing, and there wasn't a glitch, nothing.
There's plenty of ways to do it. I mean, it wasn't luck though. I mean, I read up on everything, I do, and especially when it comes to products because there's so much information. So like. We're going to get into the music side of this or into the other music side of this soon. And you can see how this process kind of works for anything. If it's finding gigs or licensing your music or anything.
Oh man, the shark infested waters of that shit.
Yeah, exactly. But when it comes down to it, like there is no shortcuts. Like if you know someone, you have a good friend, a guy or a girl who's got the best recommendations for things, you can maybe get their recommendation for a piece of gear or something like that. That's fine. But if you really want to do your research, it's kind of like going to a doctor, and if the doctor says like you're gonna die in a week, like you want a second opinion, you know.
You remember Joe versus the Volcano?
Yes.
When he tells him he's gonna die of a brain cloud.
Yeah,
you have what is called brain cloud.
A brain cloud. Totally.
I
remember that.
She goes, you didn't try to get a second opinion. Yeah,
there's no such thing.
That shit's so
man,
good.
That's when I love Tom Hanks. I mean, you know.
Oh man, I love
that
it.
That was when he was the best.
He's still the best. The hell.
Well, no, I still like Tom Hanks.
Don't be going into conspiracy theories over here.
There's no conspiracy theories. I'm just saying The Burbs is my shit. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, that's some good shit.
Yeah, right over there. Yeah. And Splash.
Money Pit.
Yeah, Money Pit. Anyway,
Money Pit's the best.
Let's move on. All right, so let's get under the surface here in your musical career. Okay, so we're going past gear. We're going past. I don't even know what else we talked about. We're getting past city and tourism. We're going into your career. So many musicians are good with practicing. They're good at performing and recording, but they have a serious aversion to spending time on the business side of things. And sometimes they say it saps their creative energy, or they're just not good at it, or they blow it off. But in order to be successful in the music business, you have to pay equal attention to this side of the equation, right? It's kind of like what we preach all the time on, you know, with the motivated musician and what we've talked about on this podcast. So how does this relate to the whole getting under the surface concept? Well, let's start first with talking about getting gigs. Regardless of if you're an instrumentalist, songwriter, composer, or whatever, any low-hanging fruit you see, advertising gigs or anything like that, or some kind of service, will probably be either a scam or just bullshit in general. If you see a website, an app, or a service that claims it can get you a good paying gig with either like established groups, or it can get you TV film placements, or anything like that.
We've talked about that before, definitely. That's just not how anything fucking works at all.
No. Like, and it's not as if we're going to
sign
gonna
up
say
for this thing and you could, you know, you'll be,
exactly,
you know, scoring Chernobyl. It's like, no, that's not how that woman got to score Chernobyl.
No. It's not how anyone got any gig.
She's a badass.
It's like,
yeah, you climb or you know someone. None of this is like, if you have inside people, always, you know, they're the ones, if you're lucky enough to know people like that. But this is for like everyone else.
Well, even we just talked to Yotam on the last podcast, which we just aired today, actually. And Yotam Silberstein said that he was struggling. He'd come from Israel and he was struggling in the scene. And then he met one person that kind of was the gatekeeper. And that's how it often happens, is that you impress upon one person and then all of a sudden he introduces you to James Moody, which is what happened to Yotam. And then from there you get all these other gigs, and that's possible, but that didn't happen without him doing all the work either. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's not like he was just lucky. I mean, he was lucky.
It's grassroots.
Yeah, it's grassroots.
Grassroots is always the way, man. Like, you try to take shortcuts.
Yeah.
You're going to get shortcut.
Yeah.
Like, in different ways.
But basically, if you see, for instance, let's talk about licensing, which I did for years, you know, and people still ask me questions about that. They say, you know, what's the best way to get your music placed? Or, you know, I saw this service that said they could place my music. I even got an email today from one of our artists asking about the same question about, you know, someone said that these tunes might be cool to license. They sound licensable. Like, what do you think? And I listened to them and I said, yeah, they're great. They could definitely be licensable, but they have to find a good home. And like, the only way that you can find a good home is for you to do it yourself. And then I linked him I sent him a link to one of the big libraries. I won't even mention the name, but it's one of the ones that, you know, that's advertised, that you can send your music to, and they say they'll give you placements, or that people search for it, for like music supervisors will search in there for music for their shows, right, or movies. And in the electronic section or whatever section you're in, there's like 25 subgenres, and if you click on one, there's just thousands of tunes, you know. So my point to him,
it's insane, dude.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So my point to him was, yeah, you can send it to any of these places, and some of them aren't even technically a scam. It's not like, you know, some of them are good, decent deals for musicians. They won't even take your publishing, and they'll just split the upfront fees for licensing, which maybe 50-50, and they won't take any publishing, or obviously your writer share they can't take. That's not even a bad deal. It's not about them screwing you. It's just a matter of like, are you going to get anything out of that situation? Yeah. And if a music supervisor happens upon a page and they search for electronic music, and then they sift that into breakbeat or EDM or whatever it is, and then there's another like mood, like dark, funny, whatever, like even when they get to the bottom of this filter, if you're not coming up in the first 10 results, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, as an editor, like,
how long do they have?
The amount of music that I've seen, like, and we use libraries like Epidemic Sound and stuff like that, and essentially a lot of these companies are just fully in-house at this point. Like, they'll hire composers, and their composers will be at home, and they'll basically just be delivering like types of genres all week. They're basically like salary at this point. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, what's cool about these companies is you can, as an editor, you can like request, like, I want like an Eagles type tune, and they'll like, they'll call up the composer that they think can do it, and they'll get it to you within like a week, sometimes sooner. Yeah. So it's like all these companies are getting very much more like in-house.
Totally.
And they're like hiring composers. So like the whole, and this is mostly like digital content, but that's essentially becoming what everything is. So it's like those libraries are just massive. If you want to go down that road, I would suggest like going to these companies and being like, I want to be a composer. Here's a huge resume and a bunch of stuff that I can do. Mm-hmm. But you have to be able to spit out this stuff. Like, your template game has to be on point. If they, you know, that's like that game.
But like, yeah, but
the
that's
film
literally,
television world is like totally different, right?
Yeah, it is.
That's like you're dealing with music soups.
Well, not necessarily. But what you said, for instance, is exactly what I did, right? Like, they have a couple people they call, right? For if they need a tension cue or a funny cue or something that's orchestral or something that's hip hop or whatever the case would be. Now, I was that guy for a lot of different people, you know, and when I was licensing music, and that's what happens. You just have to be that man or woman who is friendly and can deliver. And if you can do that and you make those relationships with the people in charge of that need music, they will just keep calling you. So
they'll love you.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I like you saying that, it's exactly, I was on the other side of that. Like, I would get calls and people would say, you know, I know them from this show. I did stuff for them. And then they go to another show and they say, look, I need 10 songs that sound like this. Can you get them to me in 10 days? Yep. And, or 7 days, you know? Yeah. And,
yeah, and there's like, you got to be easy to work with. You have to be able to like show them that you can deliver this stuff. And you have to be able to show them that like, you're not going to cry about like everything that, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. you have to know what you're going to take and what you're not going to take. You don't always want to be giving them a hard time, push back right. and forth, like with deals and stuff like that. So you got to know that stuff going in because, you know, there's thousands of people that are in this competition, if you will. Like it's a competitive world.
It
even
is
more so now.
I mean, we can go down this topic and we'll just go off and we probably won't get back to the main gist of this. But
yeah,
but the point is that you're right. And the underlying point is the whole digging aspect of getting under the surface, because again, if you're just writing music and you're either just submitting your things to these kind of like buckshot approach libraries where, you know, maybe someone will find it and it's not like they're advertising your music. There are specific agencies that may particularly single out certain artists and push them. And I know labels push certain artists. They have their ears to the ground for projects. But I made a masterclass years ago about how I did it, which is that you have to get in touch with music supervisors that are on specific shows that use music that is similar to yours. So it's a digging process. What you have to do is a lot of research. You're like Jacques Clouseau, you know?
Well, you got to find the people holding the keys.
No, is Jacques Clouseau the explorer?
Yeah, he's explorer.
So wait, who's the Pink Panther? It was Jacques Clouseau. He was the Pink Panther. It's Peter Sellers. You never saw those original movies?
I have to dig deep for this shit now.
Yeah, you got
to
dig, is what I'm saying. But it's this, like getting back to the subject, it's the same thing with performances, right? Getting gigs. A lot of people, when they graduate music school, they're like, okay, I got the training. You know, it's like as if they went to Apex Tech and got an automotive degree and they can fix cars or something. Like now I'm qualified to do this and this at a garage. It's not like that with music, and I'm out of mechanics, and I'm assuming it's kind of not like that with them either. I'm assuming that you have to really, really know what you're doing and get in with the right people. But
yeah, you can like go start at Jiffy Lube,
exactly,
change oil and stuff
exactly,
like that.
Exactly. Midas. Exactly.
Yeah.
But with music, there is no job listing board. We've talked about this before. So when you see a job listing board online, it's not that you just found one that I didn't see. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not a great option. Like, you know, when you...
That would be like if you found, like, yeah. Edit the next Marvel yeah. movies. It's like, just apply exactly. now. It's like, I don't think so.
Yeah. If it's too good to be true, probably is, right? So it's like, oh, see, I listened to that podcast. Those motherfuckers are wrong, man. Look, I yeah. found a job listing board right here. And all I have to do is pay $49.95 to get it every month, you know? Yeah.
I could be Elton John's like fucking secondary piano player. I don't think so.
Anyway, you got to do digging, and the digging in your career, it will get you to where you need to be. I mean, it's work. You have to work. If you're doing licensing, like I was talking about, that requires knowing what projects are in production a lot of times. And timing your submission of music to when they're actually in post. So they filmed everything, but they're in post-production now. And knowing who exactly to send it to. Don't just send it blindly. Don't send it to that person when they're not filming something, because it'll just get shelved. Like, it's a lot of moving parts, yeah. and you have to be organized.
Yeah. If the email is like admin@awesomegig.com.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to fucking go to anybody.
No, but it's also like when I was doing
up Outlook.
Exactly. When I
don't do that shit.
When I was doing a lot of music for TV, you know, I talked to a lot of music supervisors, and they complain. They'd be like, I get whenever I see an email that says like, we're the best hip hop, you know, blah, 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 or we're the best jazz, or we're the best this. They've just like shut it off, you know, like they would just delete that email, you know,
yeah.
because they don't have any time. So imagine them being the busiest people in the world. Your email has to be super short. You have to know, you have to right away tell them that you know exactly who they are, what projects they've worked on, what they're working on right now, and why your music is good for that exact project. So anyway, I did a video for my music masterclass on this, so I'm not going to get into deep into that, but this is just an example of like how much homework you have to do if you really want to make things happen. Or you can go on a website and pay for a service and submit and pay $5 a submission and do your best. Yeah. And good luck with that.
You'll get placed like every 4 years and you'll get like $13 from it.
You can get little placements. Sometimes those sites will give you little placements, but they won't pay much. It definitely won't, you know, support you. You know, I can't imagine.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before with like the digital content world. It's like these are in-house composers at this point, and like they're making money because editors are using their tracks like 50 billion times, and like they're getting paid to keep populating. Like there's always new stuff. Like and that's a full-time job.
It is. You know? And when I was doing it in Los Angeles, like it was the same thing. I would just get shouted out by a music soup that would say, they'd be on a show and they'd say, look, I need 20 tracks that sound like this. Can you do it? And I would send it to them and every one of them would get placed because they were, you know, the person placing music, and I would make a shitload on it, you know?
And I'm sure they had other emails already like temped out that if you said no, they'd just send the next email to the next dude.
Well, to be honest, they might've sent it to a few people, and it's not a mutually exclusive thing, but there's enough music that goes into shows that my 20 tunes and someone else's 20 and someone else's 20 will all go in.
Yeah.
You know, but so it's not really a big deal.
Yeah.
Anyway,
like but that whole world, it's like, it's optimistic and it's pessimistic too. Like you just have to really understand that you're going to have to be really fast and do a lot of work.
If you're in that work. Yeah. Your template, Jake said, your template has to be flawless. Like, I remember we went to Danny Lux's house early on music masterclass, and we filmed a masterclass with him about being a composer. And he had worked on all kinds of shows. You know, My Name Is Earl was what he was doing at that time. And
he was a student of the great Mike Post.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Coming out of like serious, like, you know, syndicated fucking television.
Yeah. And so Danny is so fast, and he had this template that had like,
1400.
No,
it was 1400.
It wasn't.
It was 1400 tracks.
Really?
Yes, it was. He remember he explained he had like 6 slave computers.
Yeah.
And like as technology got better, he needed less and less. So now he just has an empty room where all the slave computers used to be.
This is years ago. Like, I have no idea what he's doing now.
Yeah. He needed that processing power because he had 1400 track template.
And it had every possible instrument he could ever want. And it was dialed up perfectly. You know, and it was like already pre-mixed. We're talking like
40 different shakers, like everything.
Yeah. Anything. Like 20 orchestral libraries. it was unbelievable. But anyway, that's how you work fast when you have no time. And in television and in film, you have a little more time. Still not that much. You have to be fast.
And there's more pressure and stress though.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you're scoring a film, like you got to, you know, be good with taking those emails.
Yeah, but in TV and media, it's like you need to have it done like within days or less. Sometimes 24 hours. You know. I mean, whatever. But anyway,
you guys are all badasses that know this website and this thing. So if anyone can do it, it's the people listening to this podcast. But like, nothing comes without hard work is what we're saying.
True.
And if they're telling you otherwise, that's the shit that we're telling you to dig under.
Yeah.
If they're just like, you can have a freelance type of life, like just score some films, like go visit mama and grandma, like no, like you're working your freaking ass off if this shit's going down.
We're not saying that every site and every opportunity that you see is too good to be true. There are certain things that are posted. I have had success seeing things that were posted that were legit. But I did my research and I looked into them before just paying for things. And oftentimes I didn't have to pay for them. But just remember that you have to do some serious research before plunking down your money, you know, because a lot of these companies are banking on the fact that you're like too lazy or confused or downtrodden or whatever it is to dig in order to get the real work. I mean,
think of it like diets. It's the same shit.
Oh, exactly.
I know that most people that listen to this podcast, like when they see a an ad for a diet, they're just like, please. It's like, that's what you have to have, that sort of scrutiny with this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And especially with music, it's kind of funny because the amount of ads that you see for music things, whether it's instructional or if it's trying to get work, it's always preying on like very basic human emotions, you know, like for instance, there'll be a guitar website. Now I'm just going to like piss people off from other sites or something, but, it'll say like the five things you must, you know, the five licks you must know on guitar or something like that. And it's like, well, really? It's like, if I must know them, you know what I mean? Like I must, man,
you'll probably come across them if you actually do.
Exactly. It's like, if I know those five licks, like what'll happen? It's like, oh, you're just set. You're set, dude. Yeah. Like you're just fucking set, man. You don't even have to work anymore. Like, you know, the money will just come shooting out of the sky.
No, it'll come right out of the fretboard.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll just start printing out of the bottom of the guitar.
Yeah, so you have to take everything with a grain of salt. And, you know, I mean, and I'm not saying that there's no value in any video that has a clickbait title like that. But, you know, I kind of get nauseated by those titles personally. That's just me.
I always get excited when I see like the Manscaped stuff. They're like, get rid of all your hair, just three steps. I'm like, I don't think this... There's no way. They don't know me.
They don't know that your hair level?
Yeah, like that's for like a dude that has like a little patch on his like chest. People always tell me, like, just get laser, bro. Just get laser. I'm like, dude, you know, I'd have to go like 15 times a week. I wouldn't be able to have a life. I would need to get like government funding.
You'd have to get Homelander from The Boys to laser your chest.
And I'd have to pay him freaking, you know, I'd have to be on like a payment system. He'd
cut you in half by mistake.
Yeah. Like that shit, you know, come on. Come on.
No, but also I think that, you know, with the way that advertising is now, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I just thought about it. The way that advertising is now, with how things pop up on your phones or in your feeds, I feel like we're being monitored because sometimes...
Oh, dude, go watch The Social Dilemma if you want to learn more about that shit.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there are times when I'm looking at my phone and I see an ad pop up for something, and I'm like, I swear I was just talking about that with someone.
You've never done tests?
Yeah.
We did a test one night, man. We did a whiskey tasting. We did a blind whiskey tasting. It was like last year sometime. And my friend was like, okay, everybody, it was like in the middle of the thing. He goes, everybody take out their Instagram, and I guarantee you after like six posts, there'll be an ad and it'll be booze. Yeah. And like, there was probably like 9 or 10 of us in the room, and it was spot the fuck on, dude. It was like, cause that's how we had been talking about booze. So like,
that's what it was. Cause
your microphone is picking up everything and it's just going through algorithms. And
I know.
Cause everything's just personalized. You know, you're an ad sponge.
Anyway, and
it's scary, but it's like, it's kind of impressive too.
It is impressive, but this brings me to the same point, you know, is that you have to start digging. The more that technology, you know, turns into HAL from 2001, actually it's much broader than that. You know, we have to pick and choose what we pay attention to. You know, our time, we only have that much time and that much attention in our lives, and if you don't want to see this stuff and you want to dig and find the stuff that's actually legitimately going to help you or make you happier, you have to look for it and don't just, yeah, man.
You still have freedom of choice. Like it comes down to you no matter what. Like they can do all they want, but
they do.
It's still just you. Like they're not in your brain, you know?
Not yet, Jake.
Yeah, but I look at it as like a tool. Like I'm like, cool, thanks. I was looking for a new vodka, you know?
Oh, really?
Whatever. And it's just like, cool. They just personally gave me an ad that I may or may not want to look at. Like, I don't care. I'm not like offended by it. I still have a brain, you know?
A vodka made in Antarctica. That sounds enticing. I didn't even know there were people there. How does that work?
I thought they were just ants.
No, that's ridiculous. Let's talk about getting under the surface in your musical life. You know, something that plagues a lot of music students and even musicians outside of school that aren't going is that they they feel the need to like amass all of the skills that have ever existed in the universe. Now, to be fair, we run mymusicmasterclass.com, and you know, the musicians on the site are otherworldly. They're amazing. And the amount of information on our site alone is absurd, right? It's insane. But
that's why we don't do subscription based.
Right. But, well, we want to pay everyone fairly. So for everyone listening, we're trying to pay everyone fairly. That's why we don't do subscriptions, right? Subscriptions also screw like artists.
Do you need like a Ben Maunder video and a Yotam like video? Like,
yeah, like every day.
If you're not taking 20 years on each of those videos, then you're not doing it right. Right. It
took them 20 years. But the fact that there's so much information, it shouldn't be daunting or freak you out. It should be exciting, you know, rather than anxiety provoking, because music is a lifelong journey. Just like Jake said, you know, it should take you a long time. And, you know, my personal advice would be to learn everything that you're interested in and that speaks to you personally. And this is kind of where the digging comes into place here. It's that, like, if a certain style doesn't speak to you, then don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, if they concentrate on what does speak to you, because there's certain things that I recommend everyone do as a musician to be solid. You know, that's the foundation that we all have to do. And I feel strongly about that. But after that, you can hone in on what you really love and make it your specialty. You know, this is the beginning of really creating your own musical voice. And again, that takes time, right? So don't rush the process or put too much pressure on yourself. And if you...
And always come back to simplicity too, because like you forget that if you just sit down and play a fucking G chord, then you're like, wow, that sounds so good.
Yeah. And you can just work on your tone too, you know?
Doesn't have to have, you know, 12 other tones in it.
Exactly.
just play a goddamn triad once
in a while. Well, you know, Dita Paled on My Music Masterclass, she made a great video on just using triads in these really open voice positions, kind of like Keith Jarrett, and it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, him and Matheny write like that
totally.
Because they want it to be left open.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful the way that it is.
And no one would say that like Pat or Keith Jarrett were like basic shitty musicians.
Yeah.
They could say that.
I mean, I would, because I'm above it all. I'm so bad.
They shouldn't say that.
Did I ever tell you how horrifying it was when I got back off tour, when I text for him? Because I thought I would just be able to play like him, because I hadn't touched the guitar in months.
Right.
And I got home and I was like, I can just do what he does. Cause it after like months of seeing him do it so easily.
Yeah.
I almost jumped off a freaking cliff that week when I got home. I was like, oh wow. Yeah. I can't do any of that.
I'll save that for the next episode, which is called Don't Kill Yourself.
But it was inspiring. It was like, damn, like, holy shit. Like the fun is like trying to get there.
Right. You know? But basically, if you need to work on fundamentals, you know, work on the fundamentals that everyone else is working on, because you might have to do that like in college, or if you're really weak at ear training or certain things that you need to do, or some kind of technical stuff, harmonic, whatever it is that you feel you have to get together, do it. But then always
that's the stuff that cleans up everything.
Yeah, but add the stuff that in stuff that you're passionate about. And it's like we talked to Larry Kuntz that last time, and he said that sometimes when people have these stumbling blocks, it's because they have a technical thing that they haven't been able to master, a certain ability. And once they get to that point, they can kind of branch off and find their own voice. But dig under the surface and find your sound, right? And maybe people will start copying you eventually, which is the ultimate goal. But, you know, you don't have to. I just feel like I have to say that, because I remember when I was a music student, I felt like the teachers that tell you like you have to know this and you have to learn this and you have to learn this, and you're like, shit, I have to know how to play salsa and straight ahead, and I have to play this style and this style and whatever it is. You know, I was already playing blues and funk and all that stuff in clubs, but in school they were, since I was at Manhattan School of Music, it was a jazz school, you know, they said you have to do this and this and this. At a certain point, I realized that I wanted to hone in on what I was feeling and get really amazing at what I did. And I started getting a lot of work when I found my sound, instead of trying to be whoever, Jocko or, you know, anyone. And it worked for me, and it works for a lot of people, but that's part of the digging thing. It's like, don't be pressured to learn everything just because everyone else is doing it. And of course there's, it depends on your commitment to being a professional musician. Some people don't care.
Well, just find why. Yeah. Like, why are they asking me to do this? Because I can give you a bunch of reasons as a bass player why you would want to learn all those different genres. I mean, it's they're rhythmic exercises. It's essentially like you're gonna just be more badass, but right. you can also like do that later. You know.
Well, it depends. But it depends.
Like, that's a thing. It doesn't.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, what I'm saying is just that. It depends on what you want to do. If you want to be a studio musician and be yeah. able to play any style, then yeah, that's what you have to do. But if you don't and you just want to kind of specialize in something and get really, yeah. really good at it, you can do that. I mean, there's jobs for all kinds of people, not just people that can do everything, you know? So yeah. if you're really not feeling something, you're like, I just really can't play country music. And, you know, then don't. Like, there's other kinds of music you can make money playing. You know what I mean?
But that's all the digging part. Like, make sure you yeah. have reasons.
Yeah.
You got to know the whys and then the why you're not going to do that at that moment.
Yeah, I agree.
Because then you don't feel guilt about it. And that's sort right. of like what this whole digging thing in music relates to. Like, don't just do shit. Like,
right.
have reasons. That's all. That's what digging really is. Like, you need information, more information.
Right. And just like we talked about in other podcasts and in The Motivated Musician, we talk about people have a resistance to do certain things that are important. So if that's the case, you probably should do the thing that you don't want to do. If you're feeling a lot of resistance to work on your time or your sight reading, and although you really do want gigs that require that, but it's just daunting to you because you're not that good at it.
Yeah.
That's shit you have to work on. I mean, you know, so.
That's the stuff you got to figure out.
Yeah.
That's why you got to ask why, you know. We were not saying that, like, only do things that are fun. That's no. definitely not what we're saying. But, like, think about if you, like, all of a sudden can sight read better and you never have to worry about, like, rhythm, like, reading rhythm and stuff like that. Think about what that opens you up to creatively. And who you can work with and like, you know, there's always reasons.
What I'm talking about is like, this is a perfect example. We just had Pete Bernstein on the podcast a while back. So Pete was talking about when he was in college that everyone was into the ECM thing and he was more into the straight ahead jazz thing, you know, bebop, post-bop, things like that. And he was kind of the minority, I think, at school, he was saying, and he didn't really like that stuff as much. So he decided to do what he did, and it certainly worked out, you know. So he stuck to what he wanted to do. He didn't do what a lot of people were trending at that point. He decided to go his own way. So that's kind of what I'm talking about, you know.
Yeah, makes sense.
I mean, other things that we could relate this concept to, which are non-musical. Coffee. Coffee is a good one, right, Jake? Let's just do this on the way out before we end this thing. Let's just talk about someone that just has a Mr. Coffee and just gets the Starbucks blend and makes coffee. Let's talk about how we dig under the surface on that. Jake, what kind of crazy coffee shit you have going on?
Well, I mean, you could do a lot of shit. It depends like what you're trying to do. If you're going to work and you always buy coffee and you want to stop buying coffee and you like iced coffee, you can, for the cheapest thing ever, you can just make cold brew just overnight. It's so easy and so cheap. Just get a scale that can read grams.
Okay.
Throw like 90 grams in there, fill a freaking, you know, Hario cold brew thing up, and then you have iced coffee for like 3 days.
Right.
That's going to be way better than anything you ever can get at Starbucks. If you want flavoring, go buy some syrups. Like, it's just like everything that you get from stores comes from somewhere, and you can get all that stuff. Like, but you know, just dig.
Yeah, because I know that Jake, he's got an AeroPress, a French press. He does pour over. He does
this. Do like Vietnamese iced coffees.
Yeah, he's got all that stuff. You know, and, you know,
Italian mocha style.
And because he was interested in it and because he loves it, it's same with cooking. You know, you can cut some vegetables up and fry them or whatever you eat. But of course, the more digging you do, the more you can refine that. And you're like, oh, shit, I didn't know this worked. Or I didn't realize that if I add salt to the eggplant before I fry it, it takes the water out, you know, or that, you know, I can grind the coffee beans with a manual grinder. That's what you're telling me. And it,
oh, I love that.
Yeah. And it tastes better than the electric one.
I mean, It just depends. It's just a better quality for cheaper.
All right. Like you there can you get go. The good, see, that's what I'm saying. All this
the
stuff.
The good blades.
And, yeah. you know, some of this may be considered hipster by our listeners, and that's okay. You know, I mean, you do what you're comfortable with. Not everyone is going to be interested in everything, but there are certain things you can go down. Like, I got really into kava recently. Now,
that did not work for me.
It didn't work for Jake. Well, kava is one of those things where most people know of it as this tea that comes in the yogi tea bags or something like that. That's not the way to make kava. And that is not even kava. That's like, it's like the equivalent of Pizza Hut is not really pizza. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Basically, it's Pizza Hut. It's the Pizza Hut of kava. But if you get real noble kava, like I had to do some digging. I went to the Reddit. There's a whole Reddit for kava. And they tell you what the reputable noble kava vendors are. And it's a whole different game. I mean,
is it like Eric the Shrubber? Like Eric the Kavaist?
No, it's
like Courtney the Kavaist?
No. No. It's legitimate, though. And, you know, for people that don't want to drink or they want a feeling of relaxation without drinking, or maybe they just don't want to drink on certain nights, you know, it's a great alternative. It really chills you out anyway. But if anyone's interested in kava, the traditional method of brewing it or making it, look at the Reddit forums. Look at kava Reddit, you know, and do some research and you can find that out. That is not an endorsement for kava or anything. I'm just giving sounds you an like example.
It. Can you endorse
if
a
you
plant?
Say my is name is when plant? You buy the kava, if you say, if you put in the code Adam1, you will get 0% off and you will get a message that says coupon code not found.
Yeah.
This code has expired. No. But, you know, it's the same with audio and video. Like Jake and I, we talk about this all the time. You know, Jake's in a job where he edits video too, along with what he does for My Music Masterclass. So he's working with 4K cameras, all kinds of huge, you know, just
learn your proxies, folks. Learn your proxies.
Yeah. A lot of heavy stuff. So, you know, there's a rabbit hole with all that. If you really, if, you know, if you're into DSLR cameras or photography, lenses, that's something you dig for sure. There's a lot to learn. Yeah. Life hacks, you know, that's a actual hashtag or a phrase, you know, people use that. It's literally this, it's digging and finding stuff that's cooler or more accessible or easier or whatever the case is than what is commonly known. So let's end it like that. Life hack. I kind of don't like that word.
But not the life hacks that are like, use garbage instead of buying a product. Like you have like milk caps all over the fucking house that are like holding up curtains and shit like that. Like there's a certain like extent. Like,
wait, that's
if you look
a life
at some
hack?
Of the comments. Dude, there's so many life hacks that are based on just like, just use garbage for like the fucking thing that you want to do. And then like, you'll see the comments. It'll just be like, this is just using garbage instead of like, it's the best thing. Yeah, so like those life hacks stay away from.
It's like, you don't
they're
need,
good ideas, but it's just like, you don't need garbage all over your house.
It's like, you don't need a knife. All you do is you take a knife that you have and then you cut a piece of plastic into a knife shape.
Yeah. And make then you a could, freaking prison shank.
Yeah, and you can make a prison
cut
shank.
Cut your lamb shank with your prison shank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Those are funny.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but there's good life hacks out there though.
That's kind of funny, but it is, it's life hack is too much of a, it's too trending,
but that's the thing. It became a thing. So it was just like, what else can we do? You could use you can build a submarine using your fan it's blades. Like, it's like, no, that you like, can't,
you know, how, you know how when you flush a toilet, it takes around 3 seconds. It's like, do you want it to take 2.9 seconds?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't really care. I'm good.
6 second abs.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he's like, well, what's going to happen when they come up with 4 second abs?
4 second? No, a minute.
Can't afford no, whatever it was.
I would do 6 second abs.
What the hell? What movie was that from? I can't think of it.
No, that, I remember
he
that.
He got all offended. Minute. He's like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. If they had 6 second abs, I'd be all for it. That's about the amount of exercise I'd like to do.
I can't. That's pushing it for me.
All right. Anyway, I think we're babbling at this point. So thank you so much for listening to us talk about paleontology and digging.
Yeah.
We can talk about dinosaurs next time, maybe. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, dino DNA, Jake? Is that what you say?
Yeah, I wrote that in one of the articles.
Yeah,
Dino. Bingo. From Dino. Jurassic Park. Goes, what the hell is this? I was like, it's a Jurassic Park reference.
Yeah,
he's
perfect.
Like, I don't think anyone's going to get
that. Let's leave it in.
But we kept it in, right?
Yeah, of course. We just leave. Nice. We have no one monitoring us, so we just do what we want. All right, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail? You can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformancepathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So, look forward to hearing from you.